actually say that I would be genuinely scared to walk around.
Hi, this is Sean Kirker. We're doing a little bit of Voices Live On right now. Sarah is going to discuss one of her favorite ghost stories that happened to her. And where did this happen, Sarah?
It was in Missouri in Jefferson City. It was October 25th, 2005. So every year, the Jefferson City Department of Corrections hosts a ghost tour. And what they do is they sell tickets, $25 a piece, and you get to go to the old jail. And this jail dates back to the Civil War times, where Civil War soldiers that fought prisoners of war and such were actually put into this correctional facility. And they actually closed it down, my goodness, probably in the late 80s. But the buildings are still there, gas chamber and all. So I've always wanted to go. I was with a group of individuals, some married couples, my ex-husband. I bought the tickets and super excited and stoked. We had gone to dinner before, had a few drinks, and the ghost tour started about 9 o'clock in the evening. So we drive down from Boonville, Missouri, where we were living, to Jefferson City. It's about a 45-minute drive, and we get to this old, dilapidated buildings. And there's weeds growing up. The buildings are falling apart. And prior to the ghost walk, you have to go through an orientation. And, you know, the guide tells you exactly what you can touch, what you can't touch, where to go. Be very careful of your walking due to the floor that is just disintegrating in these buildings. And this was an overnight ghost tour. So at a certain point, which was for me 2 a.m., they actually lock you in a cell with an old disgusting mattress on this box spring that's creaky. And they shut you in and they lock the door and you stay in until 7 a.m. the next morning. So as we're walking through the tour, they're telling stories about the individuals that were there. And if you can picture this, as you're walking through, there is, in some parts of the buildings, no roof. It is dark. It is damp. It is quiet. It is just very ominous feeling. For me, I'm an empath, and so the entire time I was walking through these buildings, I could just feel the hair on the back of my neck stand up, goosebumps. It was just, I don't know, it was just creepy. So they're telling stories, and one of the stories that hit me the hardest was we were in one of these buildings, and as you walk into this building, it's about six stories up, catwalks along the building, and there's cells that line these catwalks. And they were talking about a gentleman who was, just for the better part of, you know, words, mentally ill. And this gentleman had murdered a few people, and he had actually, after he murdered them, would gouge the eyes out because he did not want the individuals looking at him even after death. Long story short, he was within his cell one day, and these birds, these crows, actually somehow got into the building, into his cell, and gouged his eyes out in his cell as he's screaming. And he would scream all the time, and so the guards never thought anything about it until the next day when they went to the cell and they found this man dead with his eyes gouged out from the crows that had gotten into the building. Very, very candid stories like this. And so as we're walking through the buildings, we had gone to one building, which was the solitary confinement building. And it was about, I don't know, 3 to 4 different staircases and levels down. And as we're getting into the building, in my head, I said to myself, this is a bunch of bullshit. And if this is real, and they're going to lock us in this solitary confinement state of this little room that is concaved, that is completely dark, that is smelling musty and dirty, and the water, you can hear the water drip down the sides of the walls. If this is real, I want to be touched. Somebody needs to poke me, touch me, like touch my hair. I want to know that this is not just some made up fallacy. So we get into solitary confinement. There's probably a good 30 of us in this room, and the room was maybe 6 feet by 10 feet and completely dark. So as soon as they swing this door, and this door is metal and rickety, and you can hear it creak as they close the door shuts, and you can hear it lock, click. And in my head, I'm saying over and over again, if this is real, touch me, I want to be poked. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, on my left shoulder, I hit bang, 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 3 large pokes, hard, like, didn't knock the wind out of me, but like, you knew you were getting touched. And I immediately lost my shit. I started crying. I told my husband, I said, that's not right. Why would you do that? Like, that's wrong. And he said, Sarah, no one touched you. We're all standing in here and no one touched you. I think you just made it up in your head. So I screamed for the guard, and the guard came and opened the door and they let us out. And I pulled my shirt to the side and I had the largest red mark that was already starting to form a bruise on my chest. And everyone is gathering around, and I told the story of how I wanted someone to touch me and poke me and let me know that this just wasn't some bullshit story that someone was feeding into me. And everyone was taking photos. They were in awe. And when I looked back at the photos, you could see all the orbs all around me. There was dozens of little orbs and lights, but there was no lights in the building. There was no way that these lights could have come from any place else. So at this point, now I'm freaked out. But the next stop is the gas chamber. So we go to the gas chamber where they have on the wall all of the pictures of the individuals that were killed and put to death. And you can see all of them and what their crimes were. And as the gentleman's talking, he's talking about how there was, out of the 72 individuals that were put to death in Missouri during the time of this correctional facility, that 4 ultimately were exonerated and found to be not guilty. But that at that time, you know, they didn't have DNA evidence. They didn't have, it was just eyewitness testimony. And so many people sat in the chair in the gas chamber, and I refused to do it. I just could not wait to get out of there. And so after the gas chamber, they walk us to our cell. And by this time, I'm ready to go. Like, I am freaking out. I almost peed my pants in solitary confinement. Like, there was just something about these buildings. And so they lock us in a cell, and I was in with 4 of my friends, and I did not sleep the entire night. I mean, every little noise, every little creak, it was the realest experience as far as paranormal, I think, that I've ever had. But at the same time, it was, I mean, I don't even have words. It was sheer craziness in my head. And when that door opened and they let us out of that cell, I hightailed it to my car and I did not look back. I thought, I never want to go back there again. It was one of the coolest experiences, one of the most frightening experiences for $25 ticket than I could ever have. And to this day, they still do the tours. You know, you walk through and you can still have the entire experience. But it was one of those things that in life, it really made me appreciate death. And I believe now more than ever in the afterlife and how there is a heaven, there is a hell, but then there is also a purgatory where you are stuck on earth. And maybe these individuals who are in the solitary confinement or who are still kind of roaming the halls of this prison are stuck there because of the deeds that they did in their life. And it made me stop and say to myself, I'm going to be a good person and I'm going to do the right thing because I don't want to wind up like these lost souls who are stuck on earth, who never have the enjoyment of, you know, heaven to be able to look forward to. And
how long ago was that?
It was back in 2005.
2005.
Mm-hmm.
So have you started to dig into info and education and things of the supernatural since then? Has it heightened your want of understanding it more?
Yeah, I've always been interested in it. You know, since the age of five, I almost died when I was 5 years old. I had pneumonia, very bad. Was in a car accident where I rolled my car, I blacked out. And so when they say about the light and they say about, like, you know, family members, I believe all that. Like, I have seen the light. And at the time, I think God said, you're just not ready yet. You have too many other unfinished things to do on this earth before you can come. So yes, as a matter of fact, it does make you really appreciate, like, the here and now. And it exists.
So is there anybody in your family that you think also might either had an experience or be more open to sensing things?
Yes. I think everyone in our family, starting with my mother, my daughter, myself, my grandmother, I think we all have some type of heightened intuition. There are certain things that I will think in my head or I'll think about a certain person and boom, they'll text me. Or I'll think of a certain song on the radio and I'll go to turn the radio on and that song is on the radio at the exact place where I know it is in my head. I will walk into a room and I have deja vu like crazy. I believe that I have had past lives with many of the people that are surrounding myself. I have met people and I ultimately am either comfortable with them or I am not comfortable and I can't wait to get away from them. So there is, on both sides of the spectrum, very strong feelings about, you know, just individuals as a whole.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So has your daughter had, have you ever talked to her about this stuff? Has mm-hmm. she ever said
yeah, we
anything
do.
That she's had?
We do. And, you know, from time to time, she'll say, like, great-grandpa came to me in my dream last night, and this is what he said. And she never knew my grandfather because he passed when she was just a little girl. And she would not have known his manner of speaking or the words that he would have used. And as she's telling me the story and some of the words, that's exactly what he would have said. That's exactly what he would have done. There's no explanation. She didn't even hardly know him. She was 3 when he passed away. And she may have seen him 2 or 3 times in her life. And she was such a little girl, she wouldn't have known.
So where are you from?
Michigan.
And how old are you?
I am 40.
So when do you think was one of the first times you felt something?
High school? Yes. So I had gone to an event. I had gotten home at, my goodness, it was probably 10 o'clock. It was winter time. I was a cheerleader. I had showered, prepared, got in bed. It may have been 10:30, 10:45. And my stepdad at the time, who was married to my mother, his parents were visiting from out of town and they were staying at our house. And I had gone to bed just like I had normally done and closed my door, but my door was cracked about 2 inches. And they were sitting around the kitchen table just chatting and playing cards and enjoying the evening and catching up. And I had fallen asleep. And within about 45 minutes, I had woken up and I was wide awake, eyes open, but my body was completely paralyzed. And I slowly started to raise up out of the bed. And I was about 6 inches hovering above the bed. I could feel the covers just kind of draped over me. And I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. And lo and behold, the house that we had purchased, my bedroom had been the bedroom where a death had occurred prior to us purchasing the home. It was an older gentleman. He had passed away just from old age in his sleep, and it was the father of the woman that had owned it previously. And slowly, I started from levitating to slowly dropping, and then I could feel the bed under me. And as soon as I hit the mattress, I could move. And I sat up in bed, and I sprang out of bed so fast, and I'm hysterical at this point. And I fling open my bedroom door, and I run out, and I am just crazy, scared, shocked, not sure what was going on. And I tell my parents the story and my grandparents at the time, and no one believed me. They said, oh, you must have been just dreaming it. But I wasn't dreaming it. I was wide awake. I could feel like my hair hanging, and I had long hair at the time as well. My hair was just hanging and just kind of dangling behind me. And then again, once I hit that mattress, it's like I snapped out of it, and boom, I could move and I could talk. But I tried screaming, and I remember in my head thinking, if I can just scream, or if I can just let somebody know what's going on, then they'll come and they'll help me. And I couldn't even open my mouth. I couldn't move. My entire body was completely paralyzed.
That's amazing.
And I was in 10th grade. So I was a sophomore in high school. I think I may have been 15 at the time.
Did you ever tell your parents? Or
yes. As soon as I flung that door open, I ran out and I told them, and they just pretty much just blew it off. Like I had dreamt the entire thing.
So how'd that make you feel when they were like,
oh, terrible.
Oh, it didn't happen.
Oh, terrible. Because I thought, well, maybe I am crazy. You know, maybe it is me. But there will be times where I walk into a room and I see out of the corner of my eye a figure, or I feel a presence, or I feel someone as I'm showering in the bathroom with me. And I'll peek out of the shower and there's no one there. Or a light will come on mysteriously or go off. And there's no rhyme or reason for it. It's unexplainable. The TV will turn on or turn off all by itself. And I think I just have this energy where I'm just a very open person. And so I think that as people have passed over, those spirits feel very comfortable coming to me and very comfortable like being around me because they enjoy my energy. I'm just a very energetic person. I think I have no less than 4 angels that are around me at all times, guiding me, protecting me, advising me. There'll be times where I just get ideas in my head, and that just doesn't happen. You just don't think things up.
Right. That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you. That was a great session of Voices Live On.